Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I hope you have enjoyed the show so far. We talked a little bit about John Gruden resigning from the NFL as a head coach for the Las Vegas Raiders. We also talked about illegal immigration and a crazy story out of Loudoun County with Luke Rosiak. But we have a lot more to get to. And thankfully, we will get to the calls in a second, but I have to start with the best sound. Nancy Pelosi gave us a late in the show gem today. She got snappy with reporters. And I've mentioned this several times. Like I always say, I know what I'm good at. And I'm pretty good at reading and understanding Nancy Pelosi. She's a complex character. She's thin-skinned, power-hungry, and she really does expect the mainstream media to back her at all times. Now, there's immediately when I think of Pelosi snapping at the media, I think of a few instances. One was when they asked her why she hates Trump, and she got so offended. She couldn't believe that that's what they gathered from her public appearances, where she called Trump obese. And she constantly talked about how he's erratic and all these horrible things. But then when a reporter asked her about her hate for him, she became, again, a pious Catholic. And she was horrified that she was even being asked that question. And another scenario, which was probably even more mind-blowing, was when she got caught at the hair salon in San Francisco. She was breaking COVID lockdown rules, and the owner of the hair salon called her out and actually released some footage of her without a mask getting her hair dyed. And this was a big political problem. It was a PR nightmare for Pelosi. And what she did next, no one saw coming. She came out and she kind of like blamed the reporters. She was so defensive. She said she was set up. And then she really scolded them. Like, I'm not taking any more questions on this. And it always makes me so aggravated because Trump, no one got more unfair treatment from the press than Donald Trump. And when you really looked at it, I know we always talk about his contentious relationship with the press. But really, when you watched him with the press, it was kind of a mutually beneficial relationship. Like, his audience loved when he hated on the mainstream media. They got good ratings from it. So there was kind of this odd mutual respect. And maybe I'm insane for saying that, but he had a more of a friendliness towards them than Pelosi and Biden and Kamala Harris. He wasn't afraid to go toe-to-toe. I specifically remember one time Jim Acosta asked him about Tiger King, and he was like, "Why, Jim, what do you think about it?" And then Jim started laughing. It was like there was something there that they appreciated the fact that he would come out. It was like WWE. He would come out, he would, you know, run around the ring, they would yell at him, and then he would leave. His poll numbers would, you know, with his base would go up, and their ratings would go up. In the case of these Democrats, they are treated with such kid gloves by the mainstream media. The mainstream media has done everything in their power to get Joe Biden elected, to get the Democrats in a full position of power in D.C. And the second they step out of line, the second they pretend to start doing their jobs again, I'm not saying they're asking tough questions. The second they ask a normal question, a fair question, these liberal elites will smack them down so hard. It's amazing. Now, what Nancy Pelosi is currently frustrated by is the situation on Capitol Hill. She's trying to get these big budget deals passed, the $3.5 trillion welfare spending bill, and also the $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill. She she hamstrung herself with this entire situation because she said they were going to pass in tandem, had to be a dual thing. She wouldn't pass one without the other. Biden never really said that. I think Biden would have been fine with the infrastructure bill passing, but Pelosi was the one who backed the progressives and said, oh no, they both have to go at the same time. Then she backed away from it. And now she's back to it. She has created for a master legislator as she is. She's botched this big time. It's been bungled, as they say. So the press was asking her about this because an interesting poll came out, a CBS News poll, that shows that only 10% of respondents said they knew a lot about the specifics about what's included in Biden's $3.5 trillion spending package. I don't know all the specifics. I know as many specifics as I need. You know how many specifics I know, Jared? Three words. Tree. Equity plan. That was when I said, I think I got enough specifics. I'm not on board for this. But I guess only 10% of people feel like they have a real good grasp of this, which typically, if I asked Nancy Pelosi that, I would expect her old standby response. We need to pass the bill so we can figure out what's in it. I don't know what's wrong with that answer. She was not in that kind of mood today. And this is what she responded back with.
Do you think that this pay for of giving the IRS more money to crack down on unpaid taxes is going to stay in the reconciliation?
Yes.
Or what do you say to Americans who are concerned about that?
Yes. Well, I mean, with all due respect, the plural of anecdote is not data. I've said that before here. Yes, there are concerns that some people have, but if people are breaking the law and not paying their taxes, one way to track them is through the banking measure. I think 600, but that's a negotiation that will go on as to what the amount is, but yes.
All right, so we'll start with this one. I was really thinking of her other response about selling the bill, but we'll start with this because Rick Scott gave a really good breakdown of why this $600 addition to the bill is so problematic. Basically, what they want to be able to do is that the IRS can track any transaction that's over $600. And as Howie has pointed out a lot, you, of course, can say to yourself, well, who really cares? Here's where it becomes a tricky issue. Let's say you have a school board meeting and there's a dad there who's really angry. He's making a lot of good points against critical race theory or about transgender bathroom policies. And you're sitting there and you're going, this guy could pose a problem for us. He's really destroying our argument and he's rallying all these other crazy parents. Maybe the IRS can look into his transactions. Do you see where I'm going with this? Show me the man and I'll show you the crime is kind of the society we are slowly starting to build here. Well, let's have Rick Scott break down why this is such a problem. Cut 24.
Under Joe Biden's America, the federal government's authority would be vastly expanded so the IRS could get a look at any account over $600. The madness doesn't stop there. This new rule from Joe Biden would also require banks to report every transaction of $600 or more. And does anyone honestly think the federal government will keep your private information safe?
No. No, I do not. And this is also Rick Scott, cut 25.
Want to buy a bid? Here comes the federal government. Let's say you want to buy a new shotgun. Hunting season's coming up. Again, here comes the feds. How about giving money to your favorite charity, supporting a cause or a political candidate you care about, paying for childcare, or paying for mental health counseling? Perhaps you're just selling off some old furniture and want to put your profits in a savings account. For every one of these transactions I've just described, the government is going to come take a look. Every American should be disgusted and furious by this insane overreach of the federal government.
Yeah, the senator's absolutely right. And if you trust the IRS, I would really encourage you to remember what was happening during the Obama administration with the IRS. These groups, they're not above corruption, to put it mildly. All right, now the cut that I was really interested in here is Nancy Pelosi. This is what she had to say to the media about why people aren't as informed about this reconciliation package. Cut 23.
Do you think you need to do a better job at messaging and going forward? How do you sell this if ultimately you have to?
Well, I think you all could do a better job of selling it, to be very frank with you, because every time I come here, I go through the list. family and medical leave, climate, the issues that are in there.
The issues that are in there? Oh, yeah, you do such a good job of selling it. What are we even doing? Just put this clip on 24/7. People will understand that we need to spend $3.5 trillion while the economy is already on very shaky grounds because of all the stuff in there. Because of all the stuff in there. I think that's even more convincing than pass it to see what's in it. Is pass it because of, what was the first thing she said? Let's hear that again.
Do you think you need to do a better job at messaging and going forward? How do you sell this if ultimately you have to?
Well, I think you all could do a better job of selling it, to be very frank with you, because every time I come here, I go through the list. Family and medical leave, climate, the issues that are in there.
Family, medical leave, climate, and the issues that are in there. Need I say more? Do your jobs, you little gremlins. I love her disdain for the reporters who have really devoted their careers to making her into a hashtag boss queen. Hashtag Queen Pelosi claps back and rips up Donald Trump's State of the Union address. What can she do? She's a grandma, she's a fashionista, and she's a master legislator. And she hates your guts. That's the best part. That's what I would say to all these reporters. Was it worth it? All the puff pieces? She hates you. She hates you. She doesn't think you're doing a good job selling her agenda to the American people. So take that. I hope the mainstream media is ready to apologize to Nancy Antoinette, because she does not seem like she's happy with them right now. Joe, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi, Grace. I just want to say that the child care stimulus bill is the reason that nobody's working in the Dunkin' Donuts and all these small shops. $350 gets deposited in everybody's account that gets to per month. And so if you break that down even at $20 an hour, you're looking at $18 a week. So nobody's going to work because of that stimulus bill. And it's a real big problem. I mean, everything's shutting down and nobody for Christmas, and everybody needs to make all this extra money for Christmas and for the extra bills. They no longer have to do that. I know people who have five kids that are getting $1,700 a month.
Well,
so they no longer have to run out and do the extra hours.
Joe, I think that's a good point. I did hear Walsh Marty yesterday in an interview explain that it really doesn't have to do with that. It has to do with work-life balance. Then again, though, that was just a theory he had. It wasn't anything that was researched or that he had any evidence of. It was just kind of something he thought of off the cuff. But I think you make a great point. I don't understand where these experts and these secretaries of labor and cabinet members and administration officials are so confused about this. I mean, it's really not rocket science. If you want people to go back to work, you have to incentivize them to want to make money. And if they're making money in other ways, they're not going to go back to work. Do I need to call Marty Walsh? Because that sounded like I had it down pat pretty well. 844-500-4242. We will continue with your calls when we get back. Jen Psaki is speaking right now at the White House, going back and forth with Caitlin Collins. We will have updates for you very shortly. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler in For the Boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
Well, Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, is live right now at the White House, and I have already seen it on Twitter. She dropped a Psaki bomb. She took shots at Governor Ron DeSantis and Governor Greg Abbott for putting politics above the public health because of, you guessed it, their bans on mandates. I'm sure she's trying to spin this like Greg Abbott is against the vaccine just because he's against vaccine mandates. It's really, you know, she always says to reporters, we don't have to dumb this down. For someone who doesn't want to dumb things down, she dumbs things down a lot. She conflates issues a lot. She expects people to be very, very dumb listening to her. that you could hear this woman talk about how bad it is that these guys don't want to be able to mandate things on their constituents. And you hear that and go, oh, they're jeopardizing the public health. They want people to be able to make their own decisions. Most people wouldn't think like that. Tony, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, good afternoon, Grace. I'll tell you something. This John Gruden thing, right? Here's a guy, right? Okay. So talk about a double standard, right? Okay, so he completely apologized on Sunday, right? He knows he did something wrong,
yeah.
Right? And we all agree, all right, it was wrong. So then all of a sudden, Monday night, he resigns. He's gone. You got all these left-wing nuts on ESPN, all these reporters saying, oh, good, he's out of there, get rid of him, oh, really, and all that. You know, no one giving him an ounce of support, right? Right? When they support this clown president, so-called president, who palled around with KKK member Robert Byrd. You want to talk about a double standard? I just can't even believe it. It's unbelievable.
That's a great point, Tony. And there's so many points like that that I probably could have written a list today, but I've always felt like if someone came to me and put me in charge of the decision, okay, for let's say Joy Reid. I think that's a good example. Joy Reid has the homophobic blog, and they said, Joy Reid has the homophobic blog posts. She said this, she said that. What should we do? I would say nothing. I would say let her apologize for it, which, by the way, she never did. She lied and said she was hacked. But I think if I was the boss of one of these companies and someone said they were sorry and they were getting all this heat from the public, I would accept the apology and let them make up for it and try to be better. I think that's part of the process of being a human being, is you make mistakes and you try to learn from them. There's none of that nowadays. It's like the second that you show that you are flawed, which we all are, you are cast out of polite society. If you belong to certain political groups. But the truth is that haven't we all made mistakes? I mean, who in the public sphere would willingly say, you know what, I am such a saint, you could look through all my emails for the last 10 years and I wouldn't even sweat it? Probably not a lot. Would anybody be comfortable with that? Nobody is perfect. And isn't that what a lot of these religions teach? So you got to forgive people. You got to give people a little bit of grace. And I always think that the craziest part of the whole thing is that the same people who have no compassion and who have no patience for anyone else's mistakes, it comes back around to them, you know? And then they get canceled and they act all shocked. Remember Chrissy Teigen? She got canceled for bullying someone and she's like, oh, I'm going to stay out of this cancel culture thing from now on. Okay. But maybe don't even stay out of it. Maybe try to understand how awful it is to get canceled. And next time it happens to someone, say, I've been there. Let's give that person the benefit of the doubt. That could help the situation. Conversation could help. I remember with Morgan Wallen. This is a good example. Morgan Wallen, country singer. He was like number one in the world country-wise. His record was blowing up. He was such a success. And then he got caught on camera. A neighbor leaked the video of him saying the N-word. Again, very bad. He apologized. But what if instead of pulling all of his music and canceling him and pretending he never existed, what if you had like a sit down between Morgan Wallen, and he had one with Michael Strahan, but what if we did more of that kind of thing where people sat down and explained, oh, this is what you said is wrong. What are you going to try to do now? Oh, I'm going to try to do this. Sure. Could you say, oh, it's PR, it's phony, it's whatever, but at least it's something. At least it's not just pretending people don't exist anymore because they said something they shouldn't have said. That's a dangerous road to go down. And no one on the left cares until it happens to them. And then it's the sympathy. And then it's, oh, it's so hard to be canceled. Well, stand up for someone who's getting canceled, even if you agree that what they said is bad. All right, that's it for cancel culture for the day. When we get back, I have a lot more sound. And Fauci's documentary, it's not doing that well in the ratings. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Governor Abbott knows that federal rules supersede state rules, so why do you think he did this?
Politics.
Can you elaborate?
Well, I think it's pretty clear when you make a choice that's against all public health information and data out there, that you, it's not based on what is in the interest of the people you are governing. It's perhaps in the interest of your own politics.
But for it to be in the interest of your own politics, wouldn't the people you're governing have to support that decision? And in this case, what Governor Greg Abbott is doing is he's banning mandating vaccines. Do you think people in Texas think that's a good idea? Do people in Texas like freedom? Is that something that Texas is synonymous with? I didn't know that. We learn something new every day. Jen Psaki was just doing a White House press briefing. We will have more sound of that as the day continues. But I wanted to play another piece of sound here. The Pelosi, the real money cut, is her scolding the mainstream media and telling them that they should do a better job selling her $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill, because it's their job as a massive, pathetic arm of the Democrat Party. It's their job to lie and suppress bad info about the Dems and push fake good info about the Dems. So she's confused why they're not doing that. And she also is confused about a lot of things, including counting. Let's hear. The last time you heard someone talk about baskets, it was probably Hillary Clinton talking about the baskets of deplorables. This is baskets in the news.
My medical leave and the rest. The Build Back Better is three baskets. It's climate, which we spent some time talking about already. Health, jobs, security, and moral responsibility. It's health care. The issues that relate to the Affordable Care Act, Medicare and Medicaid, and family care. I mentioned some of those issues already.
A few things. I know, how can I have a few things to say about such a shortcut, but I do. One, I would like to give sincere round of applause here, accolades, for nailing Build Back Better. I thought we were going to get a bagel back, but no. She knocked that Build Back Better out of the park, sister.
Bears beats Battlestar Galactica.
Hashtag boss queen. Hashtag yes, Nancy Pelosi. And the second thing, I got to hear that again, because I thought she said three baskets. But all the things she named, it seems like, you know, they say in Jaws, we're going to need a bigger boat. We're going to need a couple more baskets. Let's take another listen to that.
My medical leave and the rest. The Build Back Better is three baskets. It's
three baskets.
Climate, which we spent some time talking about already. Health, jobs, security, and moral responsibility. It's health care. The issues that relate to the Affordable Care Act, Medicare and Medicaid, and family care. I mentioned some of those issues already.
That felt like eight baskets. She's going to need more baskets, obviously. Strange. And, you know, it is a wee bit concerning that the woman cannot count baskets. She couldn't count the number of baskets she was going to need. So she said three, but we should trust her with $3.5 trillion. Am I wrong? Speaking of numbers.
Bigger, back better.
The numbers for Dr. Fauci's Disney Plus documentary, the Doc's Doc, you might call it, well, they're not good, according to Rotten Tomatoes. Now, how Rotten Tomatoes works, if you guys don't go on there a lot, I occasionally do, is they'll give you the critic score and they'll give you the audience score. Now, the reason for this is there are movies where critics will pan the movie if it stinks, and then the audience, it becomes like a cult classic or just makes people laugh. I'm sure, like, for example, if Anchorman came out today, the critics would probably pan it and the audience would love it. That's kind of the kind of movie where, yeah, is it brilliant? Well, maybe with Anchorman you could say yes. But there are certain movies where, you know, the critics are a little snobby. You know, what's his name? What's the big movie company that does all the... besides Rotten Tomato. There's some paper that does a lot of these reviews. Now, in the case of Dave Chappelle, for example, the critics, and that's called the Tomato Meter, they gave Dave Chappelle's new comedy stand-up special a 33%. They did not like it because it was transphobic. It was bigoted. It was racist. It was white privilege. It was not woke. And yeah, it was hurtful. So they gave it 33%. The audience gave it 97%. There were 6 critic reviews and there was more than 1,000 audience reviews. And the audience gave that special 97%. I would agree with that rating. Dr. Fauci's documentary, the critics gave this movie a 91%. 2 thumbs up, as they say. Excellent, Oscar-worthy, star-studded, moving. You know what they love to say in movie reviews? Inspiring. Inspiring. You know what the audience gave the movie? 4%. Yeah, we just don't understand the art. And speaking of this, I meant to say this yesterday. I was at a Barnes and Nobles recently without a mask on. I know, I'm so brave. And I happened to go into the political section and I saw that much awaited book, Peril. And you know what it had right at the top of the corner? 30% off. How does that work? Bob Woodward, Robert Costa. This was supposed to be a smash hit. And there it is in the front row. The big 30% off sticker. Amazingly enough, I also have a picture here. Maybe I should tweet these out. Of American Crisis Leadership Lessons from the COVID-19 Pandemic, courtesy of Andrew Cuomo. That was on a bookshelf. No percent off. So I don't know how that works. And then right next to it, you know whose book was right next to it? My Life by Bill Clinton. I thought that, you know, who's ever organizing the bookshelves at Barnes and Nobles? Bravo. You're doing a good job.
That's supply chain issues, Grace. That's why it was 30% off.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. By the way, we have a really funny Let's Go Brandon to give you guys in 1 minute here. But let's go to the calls first. Sarah, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Sarah.
I just had a question for you. You're a lot more knowledgeable than I am. Do you think Obama is in the back there or something? Pulling strings, would he be able to do that, you know?
Well, it's interesting you should say that, Sarah, because Obama is about to go campaign for Terry McAuliffe, which shows you just how desperate Terry McAuliffe is right now that he has to bring out former President Barack Obama to campaign with him in Richmond. I don't know. I almost feel, and I, to quote Marty Walsh, I don't have any evidence of this and no one studied it, but I sometimes think that there is actually a little bit of beef between the two. And I don't think Joe Biden knows about it.
Maybe not at the same rate as Biggie's beef.
Where's the beef? I don't know if Joe Biden's privy to this information, but I think that Barack Obama was very happy with his legacy ending after he was president. I don't think that Part 2 featuring the feeble old man was necessarily what he envisioned. And I think that's why he said to Joe, you don't have to do this. Of course, who should have said that to Joe was Joe's wife, Jill. She should have said, you don't have to do this. As a matter of fact, you can't do this. You are not physically capable of carrying this out. But she didn't, because she wanted to be first lady. She's power hungry. So she allowed this train wreck to occur. But there's been a few situations which make me question if Barack is really heavily involved in this administration. Obviously, a lot of his hacks who were involved in his first administration did trickle over to Joe Biden, and that makes sense. Susan Rice, Jen Psaki, even a lot of people. But as far as Barack himself, I don't know, because I do get the sense that he's much more interested in like the Hollywood aspect of the liberal elite than the political aspect. I think he was happy with his 8 years. He's happy now, you know, with Harry and Meghan and Netflix and podcasts and Bruce Springsteen. And I don't think he appreciates how obvious Joe Biden is about his ineptitude. I think Barack had a more charming way, a more charismatic way of laying out his bad ideas than Joe Biden. And there's been a few instances where I think that one is that, and I will always say this because I think it's very telling, he didn't endorse Joe Biden until Joe Biden was the last person standing. That's saying something. If Jared Diglio was my vice president for 8 years and then he ran for president, and I waited until like all 17 of the people dropped out, and then I said, hey, Jared, I think you're the right man for the job. Wouldn't you say to me, dang, it's a little late. Like, what good does that do me now? There's no one left. That was number one. And number two, and again, people might disagree with me here, the super spreader event. The super spreader event was a weird play by Barack because it really blew up Biden's whole narrative about we have to take this seriously, masking. It was kind of like a slap in the face to Joe Biden. So I don't really know if Barack's even interested in being part of this administration. Someone is pulling the strings, though. I will tell you that, Sarah. Someone is definitely pulling the strings because Joe Biden could not. All he's doing is eating ice cream. And that's why chants like Let's Go Brandon are taking over the country. Speaking of, Jared, can you set this cut up a little bit here? It says Raceway Kids asked to say start your engines, but you know more about it.
The post-millennial put this out, and there was a NASCAR race. I think it was stock car race, and they were getting ready to start. So the track announcer or the TV announcer, whoever, had three kids there. They looked like they were probably ages 9 to 12, somewhere in that range. And they were going to give the driver start your engine ceremonial. It's like throwing out the first pitch type of thing. So he asked them to, you know, say the catchphrase, and this is what it sounded like.
Mm-hmm. They're going to help kick this thing off. All right, guys, ready? In 3, 2, 1.
Drivers, start your engine.
Let's go, Brandon.
The FBI needs to investigate that kid now.
Brandon.
Yeah, let's hear that one more time. That is amazing.
They're going to help kick this thing off. All right, guys, ready? In 3, 2, 1.
Drivers, start your engine.
Let's go, Brandon.
It's the way he says it. Let's go, Brandon. Good for that kid. Wow. Watch out, though. The FBI is going to be knocking at your door very soon. Today's poll question is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Would you support a national breakup?
The reason I had this as the poll question is because Derek Hunter has a piece today in, I believe it's Town Hall. Let's just call it a day already. And I'm going to skip around here, but he says, I don't want anyone telling me how to live my life. Get the hell out. Sacrifices have to be made. He talks about splitting up the country if we were to have a national breakup. He's talking about Republicans now. He says we lose the West Coast. That doesn't shock anyone. We don't want it anyway. As beautiful as California can be, the cost of needle cleanup alone would double the debt. Oregon and Washington, meh. Dems already have them. They can keep them. Pretty much everything over to Texas is theirs, but from there it gets complicated. And he kind of breaks it down, but this is my favorite part at the end. If we split before things really go to hell, the split can be quite amicable. They'll whine about leaving New York and D.C., but they really don't have to. They can stay, provided they understand and accept that we'll be strictly adhering to the Constitution of the United States. Their sexual orientation and skin color will be irrelevant to how they're treated under the law and in society, and they are free to call themselves whatever they want, but no one else will be forced to. They'll have to sink or swim based on their merit and work ethic, and there won't be a social safety net that functions more like a hammock. Now, as far as Republicans who want to stay in blue states and they don't want to, you know, jump over hopscotch to the other side of the country, same goes for the conservatives living out west. They can stay if they want. The weather is nice, but they'll have to live with an ever-changing dictionary where words are redefined on a whim and created out of mental instability, where gender is whatever someone makes up on the fly. Abortion is free, but speech isn't. If that's how you want to live, live it. I doubt most will. It's a really good piece. And with that, I will say, yeah, I do support it.
63% of the audience now supports a national breakup.
Wow. That's actually a lot when you really consider the gravity of that kind of decision. 844-500-4242. We will be back with Howie Carr. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Who's better than Grace Curley?
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
If you want to debate or argue or fight or f*** with me on politics, I'll take it all day long.
Oh boy, Beto O'Rourke coming in late with the tough, fake tough guy cut of the day. Yikes. On a serious note here, before we go to the car crossover, the Gabby Petito case has taken another turn. Her cause of death has been revealed as strangulation. Very sad. This entire story is bizarre. I cannot believe that this kid, Brian Laundry, this man, has still not yet been found. It's pretty crazy. Howie Carr, thanks so much for joining the show.
If I ever go on the lam, I only ask one thing, Grace.
Yes.
The FBI gets the assignment to look for me.
You got a pretty good shot.
They're
at
handling. They're hiring. They're the ones that are going after Landry, like they went after Whitey Bulger, like they went after Osama bin Laden, like they went after Johnny Mataro. They all had every one of those guys had a pretty good run for multiple years, double digit years.
As long as this guy Landry doesn't show up to a school board meeting, I think he'll be. I think we'll be in the clear.
That's right. And don't buy any Legos either.
Yeah. No, exactly. Howie, what do you got planned for today? You had a big show yesterday with President Trump. You're still getting rave reviews. How are you going to top that today?
We'll figure out something to do. We're going to talk about the impending doomsday scenario here in Massachusetts. They're calling out more National Guard to deal with the upcoming firing, apparently, of hundreds of prison guards and state troopers, and there's more bad news on the vaccination front too about one state trooper in particular.
Yeah, it's really insane, and the fact that this administration seems to be so proud of themselves, and now they're trying to vilify Governor Greg Abbott in Texas because he's banning the vaccine mandates. But what they don't understand is he's not banning the vaccine; he's just banning that companies can tell their employees they have to get the vaccine. There's a big difference, right, Howie?
There sure is. And, you know, they don't want to hear it, though. And the more time goes on, the more it appears that the vaccine isn't as effective as they said it was. And the more we learn about the vaccine's lack of efficacy, as they say, the more insistent they are, the more demanding they are of draconian punishments if you won't go along.
Howie Carr has a wonderful show planned, so don't go anywhere. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow. This is The Grace Curley Show.